So as we continue on this process, the series is called Unity Life Skills for Uncertain Times, Living Unity Life Skills for Uncertain Times. And as I continue the exploration or research on this, that just made me think when I was leaving Friday, we had a meeting at the school, and I said, I got to get out of here because I got to go work on my Sunday talk. And one of the professors said, "You speak every Sunday?" I said, "Yes, I speak every Sunday, and every Sunday is a research paper." He goes, "You do research papers every week?" But as I continue to do this research, it's just becoming more and more evident that this is a practical or practicing concept that we are studying. That's why they call us practical Christians, because we are to practice these ideas. But the process is, as you'll hear in some of this lesson today, is that what we are striving to practice really is beyond the comprehension of our ego or our intellect to understand what it is we're trying to get to. Does that make sense? And so what we'll do is we'll practice those things which are easy, because the intellect can grasp that. Like you always hear me say, the Ten Commandments at their very basic level are easy for the ego to grasp. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not, you follow me? Shall honor your father and mother. The ego goes, okay, I can get that, all right? But there's so much more beyond that that the ego doesn't really, or the intellect, I should say, doesn't want to tread in those waters because it's beyond what it can comprehend. Can you follow me? So as we look at these concepts, and those who've been listening to the first three, we've been talking about this idea of being a mystic, that we are mystics in the making. And so, and we're talking about being operating from the consciousness of a mystic as opposed to the consciousness of a reactionary. And I think immediately the ego understands what it means to be a reactionary. Am I right? We react to what is happening in life. Whereas a mystic has a whole different perspective. And let me just go over it again. This explanation has been expanded from the explanation you've heard before about the mystic. But I wrote, a mystic is a person who started from a consciousness just like most of us. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at these highly evolved people, you kind of go, wow, it's like, where did they come from? Even with Jesus, his mother was the one who was coaxing him along because he was kind of like the rest of us. I mean, not really like the rest of us. A little bit different. Yeah, a little bit different. But it was sort of like, how many people have had a child in your life that you knew this child was more evolved than other children? It's sort of like we come into this experience with different memory of our previous lives. As some of the mystics say, we have memory in our bodies from multiple lifetimes. And some of us remember more than others. But anyway, this is the example. Like I said, a mystic is one who started from a consciousness just like most of us, but has diligently worked to cultivate an innate relationship with God for the purpose of developing an increasing awareness of the inner guidance from spirit as opposed to depending on an intellectual interpretation of outer circumstances. So in essence, most of us, we kind of look to the outside and then we react and we develop our response from the inside based on a limited amount of information. A mystic does see what's going on the outside, but he or she then becomes still so they can tap into information beyond what their scope of understanding is. Did that make sense? Okay. And to continue, this person developed her mystical consciousness by continuously practicing the presence of the love of God in all of her relationships and affairs. And further, a mystic developed his relationship with God by living a life of prayer that resulted in intuitive knowledge and experience with God. So every experience, everything that happens is an opportunity to experience God, all right? Not necessarily in the situation itself, but in what you receive as how to respond to that situation, how to be in the situation, all right? Is that coming with me? Okay. So, we have been using the word reactionary to refer to the common way we react to to the people, conditions, events, and circumstances in our lives. We are working from the premise that a reactionary approaches life from a complex array of perceptions that are somewhat locked into a place by a strict set of beliefs and opinions of how life is or why it is that way. This is the way it is. That's typically our response. That's just the way it is. Or that's the way I am. Well, why are you like that? That's just the way I am. You take it or leave it. Right? So for the purpose of this lesson, we're going to call our perceptions, our beliefs, our opinions about how life is, the tyranny of is. All right? You know, as the common statement used, that's just the way it is. So we're going to say, every time you think that's just the way it is, you're under the tyranny of is. Okay? Now listen to this story about the tyranny of is and how it's locked us into belief systems. So when the steam locomotive was first developed or invented, the new technology made it possible to travel in excess of 30 miles an hour. When it became apparent that it wouldn't be long before the speed of 40 miles an hour could be reached, a debate broke out what would happen to a person traveling at 40 miles an hour. Right? Now, in this debate, a very learned and respected doctor said it is common knowledge that at the speed of 40 miles an hour, the human body would explode. This is true, right? And he concluded in his professional statement with, that's just the way it is. So, and even though, you know, we may think this statement is ridiculous, we must temper our laughter and with the understanding that we have the benefit of the knowledge now compared to the knowledge they had then, okay? I remember in the 60s, during the Vietnam War, I was a cost analyst for Grumman Aerospace for the F-14, I think, fighter jet for Vietnam. And that was the first jet that traveled at the speed of sound. So Grumman had a bunch of psychologists get together and talk about what's going to happen to the human mind and human body traveling at the speed of sound. You know, will the pilot still be able to operate this vehicle? So, you know, we laugh at this, but it's an ongoing process. How is the human being going to respond to whatever new technology is coming out? So practicing living from spiritual principles helps release us from the tyranny of is. If you're practicing living from spiritual principles, it helps you to break that bondage that you have to what we call the tyranny of is. And once you become mentally and emotionally attuned to the practice of living from spirit, you begin to develop a new way of seeing that transcends your old way. It's a thought that I had of another discussion with somebody about that idea. You know, we see what we see because we're seeing as we are. And you really can't see outside of where you are unless you are consciously working on being able to break that prison that we've locked ourselves into. Okay? And this, you know, was further emphasized by Jesus. Again, you know, as we go along, these common Bible verses start to make more sense. When Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In this case, free of the tyranny of is, as in, that's just the way it is. Okay? So the tyranny of is a vision-killing superstition. Okay? And we're defining superstition as fearful state of mind resulting from ignorance of the total possibilities that exist beyond a person's present knowledge of the infinite potential available in a present moment's experience. So you get a present moment experience, whatever that experience is for you. We operate in this little box. And the thing is, there is more information available to us, but it's outside of that box. Okay. Anybody ever see the management exercise where you put 9 dots on the board and you have to connect them? Boy, that makes my students crazy. And I keep saying to them, you're locking yourself in. I don't tell them box. But they will mess with it and mess with it. They'll all come up. That's one thing to get them out of their seats. It's trying to figure out how to hook that thing up. And then I ask them, I don't know if you ever heard this, how to connect them with only 3 continuous lines. And then I ask them, how do you connect them with 1 continuous line? what I'm really trying to do is get them to go way outside the box. And it is possible, guys. I can tell you after class how you do, after service how you do it. But it is possible to do that. This is a class, that's right. But that's the whole thing of even with the spiritual principles, they're designed to get us outside the box, outside the place the intellect is trapped in. Okay, so a person operating under the tyranny of is has a tendency to view his options in life as being possible or impossible based on whether or not those options fit within his existing limited set of beliefs about what is possible and impossible. You have to think to yourself, how many times you said, that's not possible. I don't know if I can do that. And we don't always use the word possible. It's a lot of times it's in our body movements, our emotions. It's just saying, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. Okay? Remember, anytime you feel that, there's one simple response. Be still. Okay? And the major problem with operating under the tyranny of is that it causes us to believe that our individual interpretation of reality is the same as reality itself. Okay? That's why I always tell my students, there is no reality, there's only perception. And you can't get to reality until you get beyond perception. And that's a whole ball game in itself. Okay? So our work in moving towards the consciousness of a mystic is to seek to always remain open to the infinite possibilities that are always available in every situation. Every situation has a greater possibility than the one you're perceiving in your mind. And being able to remain open to infinite possibilities is to truly believe in your heart, mind, and soul that there is a power and presence at work in your life and affairs that's greater than the range of your existing perceptions about what is and what is not possible. So it's knowing and really knowing that with God, say it with me, all things are possible, okay? And it's not with God as some anthropomorphic being sitting up in the sky that you're waiting to give you an answer. It's that you are constantly being, you're constantly receiving these answers. I was showing the students a video of Yvonne Hawkins. I don't know if anybody knows that name. But at 20-something years of age, he owned all of the Checkers restaurants in Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. A young individual came out of the ghetto, had an eighth grade education, but he was saying, but in the process, he did one thing I keep telling my students, that you develop a very successful business, you always remember to pay your taxes. And he didn't pay his taxes, and he went to jail, right? But when he came out of jail, his mind was so brilliant about restaurants, so that people wanted him to open up Sweet Georgia Brown's, okay? So, but the key was, he said, God gave me this idea. So I helped the students understand that the idea that God gave him an idea was he was intuitively open to receiving the divine about how to do this particular thing, because that's where his mind was going, right? So when you hear this guy, God gave me the idea, is that God is always giving us ideas, but he's giving you ideas in relationship to what you can comprehend when you stop saying that it's not possible. Okay. Does that all make sense? Okay. So now, to be realistic, we're going to continue to move through the challenges and events in our lives guided by the knowledge we accumulated from previous or, in similar experiences. But if we can learn how to do so while having complete faith that new knowledge and understanding and guidance is forthcoming from the depths of our own being, this level of faith will guide us in the direction of a mystic. Okay, so you're going through stuff, and even if when you say, "Oh, I know how to do this," well, yeah, you know how to do it at the level you've been doing it, but be open to doing it at a higher level. Okay, so even when your mind says, "Oh, yeah, I got this," or "I know all about that," we only know all about that in a very limited perspective. So, and again, just want to say, a mystic is one who developed his or her relationship with God by living a life of prayer that resulted in intuitive knowledge and experience with God. And the prayer is not, "Oh God, please help me with this." Okay? The prayer is just being still and being open. So having a faith that you will gain wisdom and understanding about a new or a different way to proceed in your life and affairs will set you free from the immobilization of the tyranny of is. This is how it has always been. And the guidance you are listening for comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, in Scripture, Jesus talked about, I will send you a comforter. I am going, but I'm going to send you a comforter. Everybody kind of know that? Okay. So the comforter is the Holy Spirit. Remember, that's the aspect of God, of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the aspect of God that is within your being. And in that Scripture, it says, and that comforter will be with you forever. Okay? So we're always open to the activity of the Holy Spirit. And if we think about mind, idea, or expression, that the Holy Spirit is the aspect of God that expresses through you. Okay? And it expresses through you when you can get out of its way and let it express through you. Okay? But it expresses through you as you. Does that follow me? Okay? So that's the idea. So the Holy Spirit being the voice of God within you, eagerly awaiting to guide you through every aspect of your life. And the purpose of the experiences in our lives is to get our attention and make us aware that there is potentially something to be learned from every encounter. So when you said this, said this is a class, Sam said it's a class, this is it's Earth's classroom. And you're constantly in class. And you're constantly being given assignments, all right? And those assignments, this is the part that people don't like to hear, those assignments are being called for by your own soul. Your soul is saying, this is what I need in this moment. And boom, there it is, okay? So the question is, how do you deal with that as it pops up? So our purpose as mystic students is to seek knowledge and understanding from every experience, which will result in a level of wisdom that will reduce the fear that causes us to react to every situation, okay? Now, our intention, when we talked about intention last week, for being on the mystical path is to move from being a reactionary who reacts to his or her life's challenges from fear to that is a mystic who responds to life from the power and mastery gained from an inner, intimate relationship with Spirit. It's sort of like whatever comes up, you're okay. Well, you know you have this relationship. In a relationship, you might not hear it in this moment, but in the next moment, you will. And I know everybody in this room has had that experience and is having that experience. But it's just not, as you hear more about it, you start to go, oh, that's what it's like. And you start to move with it. Okay. However, while on the mystical journey to wholeness, it's important to remember that we are mystics in process. Okay? Meaning as we harvest the fruits and knowledge of understanding that lead to newfound wisdom, we are at the same time reducing, but not completely eliminating, the level of fear with which we will address the next challenging experience. So that means you kind of get into a place where you kind of go, oh, okay, I feel a little bit better about it now. But what's coming next? So yeah, I want you to just kind of have that in your mind that this is not a thing we just kind of, I got it. Once you say you got it, you know you ain't got it. Right? Because that's your ego saying, I got it. Okay? And if we just remember and understand that we are mystics in process, it would keep us from beating ourselves up when we realize that we're still experiencing fear as we encounter difficult situations, especially those challenges which trigger old, wounded emotions. All right? Because as you clear one level, there's another level that's going to rise up. That's what you got to remember. Okay, I cleared this level. I got this. I kind of got a feeling of how to respond and be in this aspect of my life. And you start to get comfortable with it. And then the comfort, your soul says, okay, he or she is ready for the next level. And this next stuff comes up and you kind of go, because we got layers and layers and layers and layers. And remember, not just layers from this lifetime, but from multiple lifetimes. Okay? It's just a matter of being open to doing the work. Okay. And I say it like that. But I tell Pam, as I'm putting these talks together, I come and I say, man, I wrote that talk, and it was like all about me. Right? And the stuff that I'm struggling with, So that's the kind of process. And the key here about cleaning up old wounded emotions, I read in a book, it says, when we allow ourselves to experience any kind of fear, we are doing time for imaginary crimes. Okay? But the challenge is, to function as a mystic striving for wholeness, you must develop a sincere desire for understanding and connection with the challenging people and circumstances in your life. Let me say that again. The challenge is, to function as a mystic striving for wholeness, you must develop a sincere desire for understanding and connection with the challenging people and circumstances in your life. This sincere desire for understanding and connection with the challenging people you encounter awakens within you the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit being the moving force for good in a universe individualized as you and the person that you were challenged by. So as you're waiting for Spirit to bless you with guidance and understanding and comfort, you have to also know that that is also working for the other person as well, even if they are not even conscious or open to any of this at all. The Holy Spirit works for the good of all who are involved, okay? And once this connection is made, you'll be able to communicate heart to heart, even if the person you are engaged with is still coming from fear. It is a matter of being able to take the time to care about the other person right in the midst of the perceived conflict. And if you're thinking this is not easy, you are absolutely right. There's a great old spiritual said, no one said the road would be easy. Okay? And as you begin thinking about this, you know, you begin to understand that this is the path of the mystic. All right? And again, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will have no fear because thou art with me. Going right through this with me. So the key here is to realize that it is more likely than not that our first reaction will not be from the intention to make a heart connection, but rather from our normal, fearful way of responding. Right? So even though we notice we're thinking about it, and so, you know, you could be walking, you know, thinking about doing an affirmation, blah, 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 boom, something hits you in your face, and bam, you come right out like you normally do. Right? Okay? But the key is, in the awakening process, you catch yourself. How many people have done that? Right? You catch yourself and you kind of go, man, that stuff is still there. All right? And again, don't beat yourself up, because remember, we're what? We are in process. Okay? But when you choose to embark on the mystical path, okay, it becomes your priority to seek to operate from a clear intention to establish balance. Okay? Now, a pinnacle, I love this concept of Navajo metaphysics, says we must learn to walk in harmony and balance with ourselves and the earth, lest we do damage to both. Okay? So it's not about, you know, just, you know, Lord help me, and I don't care what you do with them, right? It's got to be about help me and help this person or this situation or whatever it might be. And when you consciously choose to operate from the intention to establish balance, you are more likely to come from a place that seeks to spark compassion and reason in those in whom you're in opposition with, as opposed to sparking aggravated fear and resistance. Because we know how we can be, right? Or at least I know how I can be. I don't know how you all are, but I know how I am, right? Okay. You know, and so, you know what I'm talking about? You know, you're trying to stay peaceful, but all your voice intonation, your facial expressions, everything is saying something else that's even agitating this other person even more, the situation even more. And it's a whole matter of just becoming calm, you know, in your whole sense of being. And you're working on, that's what you're thinking about. It's just being still in your whole being. And that just takes work. But we have a lot of opportunity to work on it. Right? Constant. Right? It's a constant process. So, you know, this, of course, begins with your being able to work through the layers of your own fear and resistance. And we have layers of fear and resistance. So you become better able to connect with your own inherent good and power. So what the key is, it's sort of like the crack in the cosmic egg. So when you at your pure essence, you are just I am. That's all. Pure I am. But as you begin to be conscious of life experiences, you begin to develop a shell around that I am. And the shell gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. So you're still I am, but your I am is encapsulated in this shell of all the stuff you've taken on. The crack in the cosmic egg is that something in your life causes a crack and you get a peek into the truth of your being. You have all had it. We've all had it. And a peak, because that's, and then what happens is like, oh man, well, you lose the crack and you can't see the I am anymore, and you all you can see the shell, and so you're looking for the I am again. You know what I mean? But as you keep working on this, that shell becomes thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner until you reach where Jesus reached, where there was nothing left but I am. Okay? So if you think to yourself, as you move through life and you can come from love and spirit and so forth, you think to yourself, the shell has just become thinner. You can feel it. It's not the ego can claim it. It's that your whole being just feels that something is happening within you. Okay? And you have to be careful. This is where you have to really be careful, because if you allow your source of power to be claimed by your inflated ego, you will seek to overpower others rather than empower them. And an inflated ego will cause you to create imbalance rather than imbalance. And the ego can easily become inflated from the arrogance of believing that you are more spiritual than the person or people you're dealing with. Anytime you're thinking, well, I'm spiritual and he's not. I hear it a lot of times. Well, you know, I'm very spiritual, but my husband is not. Or I'm very spiritual, but my wife is not. Or I'm very spiritual, but the people I work with are not. As soon as you think that, you need to, oh, my ego just grabs that journey that I'm on and taken off with it. Right? So, now listen to this story describing for us when we are spiritually immature in our knowledge and understanding of our own Christ presence. This is when we're immature. And don't overthink when the story I'm going to give you. Okay? So to illustrate this concept, we're going to use the analogy of a coconut. So when a coconut is green, you know, green, unripe, the meat or essence of the coconut clings tightly to the shell. At this time, if you took a nail and drove it through that shell, it would pierce the shell, and the meat or essence of the shell, both would be affected by the piercing nail. Okay. Now, as the coconut ripens, the meat or essence within it in the coconut begins to release or detach from the outer shell. So when the coconut is ripe, if you drive a nail through it, the nail will pierce the shell, but it will not pierce the essence. The essence of the coconut would flex in response to the nail, but it would not allow itself to be pierced. Okay? Now, likewise, when we are green or ignorant of our own spiritual truth, the own spiritual truth about us, and not understand that we're divine, we cling to the outer shell and actually believe instead that we are the body. We are these emotions and fears. We are these conditions. We are these things that have or are happening to us. It's all one thing. You're just stuck in this space. Now, if someone were to attack your body or your emotions or your beliefs and perceptions, you would feel attacked, you know, because of the fact that not only was your shell pierced, but your essence was pierced. Because you're clinging to the fact that I am this body, I am this mind, I am this emotion, I am all these things that have ever happened to me, okay? But once you begin to gain an understanding that you are spirit, what happens is your essence begins to detach from the shell, and you begin to know that those things outside of you are really not touching the essence of who you really are. I am not really this body. I am not really this mind. I'm not really these emotions. I'm not really these pains and things and woundedness and all the stuff that I think that I am. I am not that. Okay? So when we were at Cape On Springs, all the Cape On Springs people, raise your hand. We're in Cape On Springs, all right? We did this meditation. We were guided by, again, the great guru, Sanj Guru. And he did this meditation. It's a cryo yoga meditation where as you inhale, you inhale, you go, I am not this body. And as you exhale, I am not even this mind. I am not this body. I am not even this mind. Now close your eyes for a minute. You're going to do this with me three times. On the inhale, together, in your own mind, I am not this body. Exhale, I am not even this mind. Inhale, I am not this body. Exhale, I am not even this mind. Inhale, I am not this body. Exhale, I am not even this mind. Amen. Try that meditation, you know, at your own breathing, you know, where you breathe. And as he said, try to take, as you say, I am not this body, try to make it that your whole inhaling, and I'm not even this mind, your whole exhalation, right? If you're interested, Sadhguru is spelled Sadhguru. You can look him up and get the, it's a 21-minute meditation that he guides you through, Kriya Yoga. And I know I'm getting off a little bit here, but in studying a lot of the Eastern philosophy from India, it is believed that Jesus, St. John, St. Paul, all these people studied those meditation techniques, because those meditation techniques go back thousands of years, tens of thousands of years. India has been doing this for a very, very long time. Okay, so just try it and see how it feels. And again, that's only one method of meditation. You get what I'm saying? Just whatever works, that's just one method. So from meditative practices, and this is all the things I'm reading, all this stuff that it's not just a matter of reading and, you know, trying to remember and stuff like that. The way you get yourself really into it is through the dedicated practice of meditation. You're working on getting to this place where this idea, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, is because as you're meditating, your mind is doing all kinds of stupid stuff. Right? But the idea of I'm not even this mind is getting you to a place where you begin to ignore that stupid stuff. It doesn't stop. It's just that it goes to the background. You get it? Because now you're realizing that's not who I am. Is that making sense? Okay? But meditation is the process. And so from meditative practices like this, over time, we begin to realize that the real essence of our being is spirit, and nothing, nothing can pierce or wound who we really are. And when we grab a hold of this truth, we are truly on the mystical path to wholeness. Now, fear will just, you know, as you're working in a path, fear is going to tag along, because it's an old companion, right? It's going to tag along with you for a while you're on the mystical journey towards wholeness, until it realizes that there is no place for it in your healing. So it's not like you're going to get rid of fear. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, there you are. Okay? As you're doing your thing. But after a while, fear can only exist when you what? Yeah, support it. Okay? So the key here is, and this is what Albert Einstein said about this. He said, you got to remember, Albert Einstein, one of the most brilliant people that we know, right, reached a point where he began to understand that it's not about me. It's not about what I come up with. Okay? And this is what he says. He says that deeply, he came to a place of that deeply emotional conviction of the presence of a superior reasoning power, which is revealed in the incomprehensible universe, and that which forms my idea of God. Okay? Even that was kind of deep. You know? So he began to understand it's not me, it's not what I'm coming up with, it's that something is coming through me, and I'm just going to allow that process to happen. So have faith. We can do this. You know, it's a lot of work, but we can do this. You are being spiritually ripened by every experience you have. Just remember that in every experience, it's to stay totally open, receptive, and aware, listening for the Holy Spirit's guidance. And then bring your whole self to the experience, and consciously cultivate and harvest the lessons being taught, so that you may reap the rewards of living from a newfound wisdom of being fully conscious in every situation. Because normally when we find ourselves in situations, like we find some kind of a drug to get us out of it. The drug might be TV, it might be a whole thing of pie, whatever. We find some kind of drug to keep us from being totally involved in what it is that's confronting us. And so we want to be open, fully open to this experience. So I'm going to end with this affirmation. I turn to the comfort of light, knowing that the chaos is overshadowed. I turn to the comfort of light, knowing that the chaos is overshadowed. Say that with me. I turn to the comfort of light, knowing that the chaos is overshadowed. Amen. Amen.